for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, December the 30th, 1998. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Bunch from San Fernando Valley, California, is the speaker of the morning.
I'm going to lay it on you, folks. Well, the Lord is able, isn't He? And the Lord is good.
Amen.
All the time the Lord is good. Praise the Lord. I want to say a few things just before I get started here, and that is that in the first tape I said that there's a three jubilees that we were talking about. And that was that the state of Israel is celebrating a jubilee. There were also 50 years since the Lateran movement was poured out in this teaching of the last day. Also, there were 50 centuries since Jesus was on the earth, but I meant 50 generations. 50 generations. A generation, according to the scripture, is approximately 4 years. And there's been 50 generations since Jesus was on the earth. And we're just now entering into that Jubilee generation. Praise God!
Amen.
I was talking to my wife last night, and she said, Dad, you better shape up because we've been married 22 years. Somebody's going to get the wrong idea that we have illegitimate children here. We don't want that to happen. I was married in April 17th, 1976. So it's 22 years. I'll get it right. No, I have a 21-year-old daughter and an 18-year-old son. Yeah. See? It's a good thing I corrected that. Amen. 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 Well, we left off last time in Ezekiel, but we want to turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 10. And we want to talk about the fact that this lawless nature, the Lord is coming to put it down underneath His footstool. Bring all enemies under His feet. We want to talk about the fact that He's going to destroy this lawlessness with the brightness of His coming. Hallelujah. This is the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. But what He said He's going to do, He's going to do. I thank God for this promise, this event that is as sure, this blessed hope, that though we have not seen it with our physical eyes, we can see it with our faith eyes. We can see and know that God is going to do exactly as He promised. And we turn in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter here, beginning in the third verse. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin and the son of perdition is revealed. Now I understand there's many that would believe that this is the Antichrist, but I believe it says so in later scriptures that this is a lawless spirit. It is an anti or pseudo-Christ spirit. It's man raising up in himself and saying, I'm the master of my own ship. I'm a self-made man. And that is the iniquity that was in the Tower of Babel that caused these people, God had to intervene because these people thought that they were going to build a tower big enough that they're going to bring down God or that they were going to be equal with God. That was the same sin that Satan had. I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will do this and I will do that and because I'm somebody. When we're talking about being somebody, we're certainly not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that the Lord is investing in us a treasure that is of Himself that He wants to bring forth. And so we read here in this scripture that the man of sin, the son of perdition, is an Antichrist spirit, though it may not be the Antichrist. Fourth verse, you who oppresses and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that He is God. How many times have we seen people saying, well, you know, you Christians just don't know what you're talking about, you see. Evolution is the truth, and creation is not the truth, and we're gods unto ourselves. Have you heard that? Religions actually believe they're gods unto the self, and actually inside of you is a God being trying to get out. I know. Sounds foolish? It is foolish. They have the Antichrist spirit. Now let's look again. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. He who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now listen to me very carefully here. Because there are a lot of people that believe when the Antichrist or when the church is taken away that the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn from the earth, and then this Antichrist spirit will have a big heyday. Look at what we're talking about here. We're talking about his coming. If you look over in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about when I, as a child, I spake as a child. Now we prophesy in part. We see in part. But when that which is imperfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. What happens at the coming of the Lord is there's a transition of the Holy Spirit work into a fullness that we don't know now. The Holy Spirit has not left. He said, oh, you guys, just do what you want. The Lord doesn't do that. The Spirit of God always strives with men. But it is a transition from impart ministry into fullness. So that's what it means in this scripture verse, that he's coming. He's not restraining any longer this lawlessness, because there's something that is about to be done that will destroy lawlessness with the brightness of the Lord's coming. Now let's see this. Therefore, brethren, eighth verse, I believe it is. Yes. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the works of Satan with all power and lying signs and wonders. We see the false prophets even out right now. They're called psychics. And there's wonders and signs that happen there. There's truth, actual, accurate things that they predict. But you don't look to that. You look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. You don't look even in the charismatic realm. You don't look unto the gifts ministries. You don't look unto the office ministries of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. They are there for the equipping the saints. They are gifts of Christ to the body. So we do not exalt them as something more than a gift, or put them on a pedestal that they do not belong on. But we honor them as the office of the living God, and we honor them as the anointed of the Lord. Amen? So we see the brightness of his coming, and what are we talking about before? That lawlessness will be put in its place in the body of Christ. He's going to consume it with the brightness of his coming. I'm so excited about that. Think of it. Having the mind of Christ, that it is as natural for you to be perfect in him as it was natural for you to be imperfect. I try to paint that picture and look at it, and I think I don't have the colors right. How can I conceive of walking in him without error? See, that's what the Lord is doing right now. He's getting error out of the church. The error that proceeds. Because there are so many that are holding the truth in unrighteousness, because in their lives, they're not acting out. They're not walking out what the Lord has given them in this gift on Calvary. They're not walking it out. But at that time, the truth will be a banner of righteousness that will be over his people. The banner of love will be the order of the day. 1 John talks about the fact that you will have boldness in the day of judgment because of love. Because of love. Hallelujah. We see the judgment as being an evil thing, as being a horrible thing, as wrath. But for the Christian, it's a good thing. Don't be afraid of God's judgment. Do you hear me? What does it mean? It means he divides the sheep from the goats. It means he gets rid of the error He cuts off unrighteousness and the righteous shine forth. So getting your heart in order puts you in a position to receive the reward when He comes. That crown of righteousness. That's why deliverance is so very important. That is why you don't make it a priority in that that's all you look to get ready for the Lord. But you make it as a place of communion with Jesus. Lord, I want to be clean before You. I want to come before You with clean hands and a pure heart. I don't want to have my mind divided among other things. I don't want to have my heart divided in any way. I want to be a vessel that would honor You, that would be a proper representative of the kingdom of God in this earth. Amen. And so we see this day is a bright day. 10th verse says, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." Listen, every single one that has come to me and said, "David, I really see that the Lord is going to do this thing. How do I prepare?" I said, "Love the truth. Love the truth. Don't settle for playing around. Don't settle for man's interpretation. Don't settle for backsliding. Don't settle for compromise. Love the truth. And the deception that comes will not take you." Because of this, the Lord is sending strong delusion. There's a lot of things that we have seen even in the last 10 years of the delusion that has taken many in the body of Christ. We've seen pastors and ministers fall to this delusion, thinking for some reason God would change His order and will that they should not be married to their wives any longer, but they should follow after or run after some girl that is found on the internet. Foolishness. And it's a deception that is so strong, but there by the grace of God go I. Amen. So we grasp a hold of the horns of the altar, we grasp a hold of the feet of Jesus, we grasp a hold of His garment, and we hold on with all of our might. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1:4. 2 Peter 1:4, one of my favorite scriptures that the Lord gave me years ago that I grasp a hold of each and every day, the promise of God. 2 Peter 1:4. Let's start at the third verse. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How many want to be partakers of the divine nature? Through these promises, God has said that you can walk in liberty and truth, that the nature of God would be your portion. That's a thrill. That's exciting. But that you can walk in the truth of the Word of God, that you can walk in the liberty of the living God. This is a joy that is set before us. Remember last time we said you're somewhere in the future and you look much better than you look right now? It's the truth. Because in prophetic utterance, you are in the future. Because God is exposing and revealing His will and His purpose for you through Scripture, through prophetic word that He comes by unction of the Spirit and He says, "Listen, I've got a plan for your life. I've got a purpose for you. And I want you to know about it." That's the thrill that we have in Christ Jesus. That's the joy that we have in Him. That it is not as we have thought. It is better than we have thought. Scripture says, "Mind hasn't begun to comprehend the things that God has prepared for those that love Him." He has designed that He's going to do it exceedingly above all that you could ask or think. Now think about this for a moment. How big is your thinking? How big can you think? Can you think of millions? Can you grasp that? Can you think of a ministry that big? Can you think of a ministry affecting souls and lives in the thousands and thousands? God can do greater than you could ask or think. What are your hopes for your family, for your children, for yourself? God's promises for you are greater than you can ask or think. His love for you and His design for your life is greater than you can ask or think. I know. Sometimes I begin to sit and I think, oh my, that boggles the mind. Because my imagination, not my fantasy, my imagination can expand to grasp a lot of things. It is by this exercise of the mind that the worlds were created. The Lord created you in His image. Did you know that? That word there means imagination. In other words, He imaged you in His mind and said, let it be, and you were. So we have the mind of God. As long as we have that imagination purified and cleansed toward Him, it can be a great faith builder because you can see it through faith's eyes. That's what we call seeing things through faith's eyes. We can comprehend, we can grasp, we can begin to possess what is painted by word pictures in the Bible and receive those promises that are His. Let's move on. You want to be partakers of the divine nature. You want to see that glory and know that glory in a personal, powerful revelation. 2 Peter 1:16. These are Peter's words. Remember, we're going to refer back to Matthew 17 in these words. For we did not know cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming, parousia, of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We're talking about Peter. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard His voice, which came from heaven, when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word. You're hearing a prophetic word of things to come. The brightness of His coming. The day of the Lord. The day of atonement. The day of His victory. We have this prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in dark place until, there's that word again, the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Who's the morning star? Yes. You see, Scripture backs it up. This plan of salvation was not for you to get on a glory train and make it home to heaven only. His salvation purpose is to bring people back to fellowship with Him as it was before the fall. Yes. Yes. Our sister yesterday was talking to me and she says, you know, what is the glorified body? And I began to explain, you know, in my educated way, you know, like I have all the answers. She says, no, I just didn't want to seek Jesus' face and love Him. And I said, oh, well, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter talks about the glory of God is in His face, Jesus' face. And that lovers seek one another's face. Amen? That's it. She says, I got it. I got it. You seek His face. You seek His face. Lovers seek one another's face. Then you receive His hand. Seek His face. Amen. So we see here the brightness of His coming. We see here the morning star arises. Malachi says that the S-U-N of righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings. Hallelujah. The bright morning star. The bright and morning star. Morning star is the sun. S-U-N of righteousness. I thought that was a typographical error. But he was describing a picture he saw. Bright. Arising with healing in His wings. The sun of righteousness shall arise. This is the day that dawns. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day of the parousia, when He comes to be present in His glorified people. When He comes to be present, those that have laid aside their selves, have washed their garments, they're clean and white as the virgins, five virgins, make sure that their oil is, lamps are trimmed and their oil is full and they're ready for the bridegroom to come. You see, there was a trumpet sound that happened first. Hello, He's coming. The five little foolish ran, oh, I gotta do something. And they went to the wrong direction, you know. If they would have just gone to the Holy Spirit, but no, they went out there. I got to receive a word. I got to receive this, and I got to receive that, and then my oil will be full. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the oil. Have you ever had a coil oil lamp? I'm sure many of you have tried it. Have you ever tried to burn a lamp without oil? Some of them go, ugh. It smokes, it stinks, it smarts your eyes, and burns up the wick, doesn't it? Well, when you got that oil in there, the bright, shining light warms people, brings them around, starts fellowship. It's a blessing. That's what the Lord wants us to have. It's the oil of His Spirit, full to overflowing, more than enough, and more than enough for the day that dawns and the time that comes. Hallelujah. Now, Ezekiel had an experience, and Isaiah had an experience that we referred to last time. In Ezekiel 3, he was given something. Ezekiel was given a book, and he ate it. And after he ate these words, then the Lord gave him marching orders. He saw this glory of God that came over him, grabbed him by the nape of the neck, and said, "Let's go." And he went. But he received his words first. "I will put my laws in your heart and in your mind." That is a type of what's going to happen at this day. It means that young and old, bond and free, anyone that God has called into His glory will have marching orders, and they will have places of ministry. We stop and think, well, you know, how let God be God? Don't worry about it. Everything He calls you to do, He will give you the wherewithal to do it. First of all, He didn't call and send Ezekiel until He gave him the word. And when He gave him the word, and he went to the people of his nation, not to a strange tongue, he went, and he was angry about it. But everywhere he went, the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. There's no question that God was with him. Hallelujah. And then Isaiah. In Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the glory of His robe filled the temple, and I see a word picture, and it brings it all around, and the angels were going around and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." And then an angel went in and brought the coals off the altar and touched him on his lips. Let's turn there quickly, and I don't want to paraphrase. I want to see it. Isaiah 6. The temple was shaken. In the fifth verse it says, "And so I, Isaiah, woe is me! I am undone! Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me. In his hand he had a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins are purged." Hallelujah. That iniquity is something, a law within our members, Paul talks about, that keeps us from doing that which is good. And here after this experience, Isaiah's iniquity was taken away and his sins were purged. This is a vision. This is a prophecy. This is a word picture of what's going to happen at the coming of the Lord. Now, David, what coming are you talking about? I've always believed when the Lord comes, He's going to change it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to come home. Yes. But this is before that. This is the parousia. You see, at the end of the testimony of the two witnesses, they are allowed to be killed and they die. And then they raise up after 3 days and then they're caught up. That's the catching away that we've always believed and that we always teach. That's the time after the testimony is done in the earth. That's the time after the whole earth has seen His glory and had a chance to choose yes or no. See, what has happened here is we've had people that have been preaching the gospel with the power and authority of Jesus' name and doing the very best that they could to promote the kingdom of God. But what God is doing is He's raising up His church His way, without any kind of special programs, without any agenda. And what He will do is He'll draw them from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will come to the house of the Lord, a house of prayer, where they will know that God is God. For He will demonstrate His power and glory, and He will demonstrate Himself in a manifestation of His presence that none but will be able to argue, oh, that was a psychological healing, and oh, they really just were ready for that, and oh, there was a lot of emotion there, and you know, you've heard all the excuses.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.